Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kayla Schleviel, your practitioner of the day, and along with Wanda and Cindy and Joanne. She's not wearing her stole.
She's not wearing her stole.
It's okay. It's all right. The point is, any way to get a laugh is perfect. And the point is that we like to pray. And we like to pray for you, not just at you. And so you can come up. You're welcome. You can come up to anybody who's wearing one of the stoles and ask for prayer assistance. And not always, but sometimes we'll just drop everything and do it at that moment or work something out with you. And so it's my pleasure right now to give you the opening invocation for this morning's service. So know with me that always, regardless of circumstances, there is only one. One infinite intelligence, infinite all there is, divine intelligence operating through each and every one of us. And we breathe, and we know that it is all good, it is all in process. It is all perfect, and we are here on purpose. We thank you, sweet spirit, and we make room for the new, and together say, and so it is.
So we're talking about surrender today, actually all month long, shedding our skin. That's what we're focusing on this month. Yes. I didn't wear my scales, though. I think I wore my butterfly, so one of these days, I'll bring my scales in. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Abigail Shire, and I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center. I won't get tired of it either. Thank you. My pronouns are she and her. My ancestors hail from Prussia, Ireland, and Germany. And one of the reasons why I've invited us to speak our ancestry into the room is because I talked to my friend, Reverend Elijah, who had a conversation with the indigenous elders in their community in Santa Cruz. And the elders in indigenous communities not only do a land acknowledgement, but they do an ancestry acknowledgement of their ancestors. And their request to Elijah's community was that anytime they're in sacred ceremony, that they honor their ancestors. And every Sunday is a sacred ceremony. And I went and attended Center for Spiritual Living Santa Cruz, and I loved it because it showed how diverse our backgrounds are, that we come from so many places, and yet we are united in consciousness and our intention to spiritually evolve together. And that may look different, and we may have different histories and different ages and ethnicities, but we're all here with a common intention. And I love that. Well, this weekend, I went to Linwood, which is where my house that I own is. Many of you may not know that Beverly Leonard, who's online. Hi, Beverly. We love you. Beverly Leonard is a newly transferred practitioner here and had bought a house in June and lived in her house for a couple of months. And then when you all hired me, she ended up leaving her house in October and has loaned me her house through the end of February. So I'm living at Beverly's house, and my wife is living at our house in Linwood. And we're doing this driving back and forth weekend thing. And I went home to Linwood, and we were talking about selling our house. And we were looking at what are the things that need to be done. We had a conversation with a real estate agent. We're starting this, just the initial processes. And I was looking at my garage. And in my garage, there's a bin of jeans that don't fit. Anybody else have
my aspirational jeans?
My aspirational jeans. And I was thinking that maybe I should let some of them go. There is one I'm going to keep, though, just in case. But all the rest of them, what if I just got some new jeans whenever I actually get back down to that size again? And I reward myself with something new and circulate those jeans back into the used clothing stores from which I also buy jeans from. So I'll just continue that circulation, that opportunity. But I wonder how many of us do that with other things. Like, we hold on to things for a little bit too long. Like, how many of you have held on to a relationship for too long? Yeah. Or a job, too long. Yeah. Or how many of us are waiting for something to happen but haven't actually taken any steps to create the spaciousness for that thing to actually happen? Yeah. So that's what I was thinking about today, was that oftentimes there's a tendency to grip on to things and people and belief systems tightly instead of surrendering and letting them go. The snake gets to a point where its old skin is too tight. And when the old skin is too tight, it lets it go. And there's a newness that emerges. It's still the same snake, but it's emerged as a new self. And we have the opportunity to do that as well. But we have to be willing to surrender and let go of things. So today I'm going to offer three insights about surrender that may be one of the most powerful spiritual practices that you can do. There's a story, a Zen story, maybe you've heard it before, but I like a good story. I like to tell them again and again. There's a story about a Zen master, and his student comes in, and his student is so excited about telling him about all the cool things that he's been doing. And when the student comes in, the Zen master has two teacups. And he goes over to the student's teacup and he starts pouring the teacup. And the student is talking and talking and talking. And the Zen master is pouring and pouring and pouring. And soon the teacup is overflowing. And the student's like, "Stop! It's too much! It's overflowing!" And the Zen master says, "Yes. In order for you to accept new wisdom that I might be able to impart to you, you have to be able to empty your cup because you're overflowing with what's all about you and not open to the next iteration of possibility." And so I wonder how many of us are doing that, how many of us are being so attached to the greatness that we are, the carefully crafted story of how powerful I am, and what might happen if I change? What might happen if I let go? It's really interesting because Joe Dispenza, he's a biologist. Joe Dispenza is a biologist. And he does a lot of studies on our bodies, our biochemistry. And what he's noticed is that when we have repetitive emotions, even if they are sucky, that our body gets addicted to them. And so we can be in a situation and it's like familiar. It feels good because it's familiar, even if it's super stressful, super intense, super difficult, because we're addicted to the emotions that those stress hormones give out. And so in order to let go, in order to change, we have to make a conscious decision to let go of our addictions to those emotions or to those feeling tones, that energy that happens. Now, I've noticed this. There's a lot of opportunities in our world today to get sucked into a negative emotion. I mean, it was happening with me. I was on a walk with Gina. We started going down a rat hill about all different things and politics and the earth and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I just can't right now. I just can't, because what I'm noticing is I hadn't slept very well and I wasn't in a very great space. And when I started going down that conversation, I was feeling worse and worse and worse. And I had to pull myself out of that experience and say, I just can't focus on this right now. Like, there's times when I'm really connected to my source and I know what to pray for. I can look at the news, I can look at things, and I can know what to pray for because I'm connected. And then there's the times when I'm not connected and I can just have that addictive, you know, rat hole. The rat wheel, and not be tuned into my greatest well-beingness. And I had to say, you know what? Why don't we just focus on, like, hey, our new dream house, or what we would love in Bellingham, or what kind of experience we'd like to create in our lives. And so Gina, who's a great wife, was like, yeah, I'm on board with that. And and we shifted our energy and our attention and our awareness to what we would like to create in our lives. Because I wasn't in the space where I could give from the overflow. I wasn't in the place where I could look at the news and go, you know what? I'm going to know the highest and greatest good for that situation. I was in the place of depletion, and I needed to build myself up. And I knew that I have been in the past addicted to those emotions or the stress hormones, the things that kind of allow us to keep going on that kind of agitated sense of being. But that's not where I want to live. So I wonder, what are you so full of that there's no room for anything new? Or what old story are you clutching onto that keeps you from receiving what's trying to emerge? Do I have any Star Trek fans in the room? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, a couple. Thank God. There's a whole group of you that are not Star Trek fans, so you're just going to have to deal with my Star Trek stories. Oh, admit it! Oh, Trekkies, unite! All right. Yes. Well, I love, there's a lot of good ones coming out now. However, I'm a big fan of Next Generation, and there is an episode called Tapestry where Captain Picard dies and he meets Q. Now, Q is a character in Star Trek who's like a god. Q has god qualities, literally. And Q gives Captain Picard a do-over. He says, you know what? You can do your whole life over. If you want to change anything, I'll let you change it. And so there was this time when Captain Picard wasn't a captain, and he was a young kid, and he got in a fight. And in the fight, he ended up getting injured. I think he got stabbed in the heart, something like that. He got injured where his heart was damaged, and he had to get an artificial heart. And his whole life, he had regretted that. So he went back, and he decided to play it safe and not get in that fight. And whenever he came into his current life, it turned out he wasn't a captain anymore. He was a low-ranking person in Starfleet. And it was really interesting because Q tells him that Picard never had a brush with death. He never realized how fragile life is or how important each and every moment is. The wound that Picard had was the doorway to his evolution. It was the doorway to him becoming the highest and greatest good that he could become in his life. And I love that. Richard Rohr says, if we do not transform our pain, we will most assuredly transmit it. So the moment when everything is falling apart is not punishment. It's preparation. It's evolution. And I'm sure you've thought about or heard about the story of the butterfly. But it's a really great example of what happens. Because the caterpillar can't even imagine what it's like to be a butterfly, but there's something in the caterpillar called imaginal cells. And what happens is when the caterpillar gets in the cocoon, it completely dissolves. Like there's nothing left of caterpillar. Completely dissolves. There's no evidence of anything that was a caterpillar, except for the imaginal cells. And the imaginal cells are what create the butterfly. But the interesting part is that the caterpillar might not even conceive or understand what that evolution is. It just has to surrender into what is unfolding. Can you surrender into what is unfolding as if it is the next evolutionary step for your life? Can you allow the soup to happen? Or if you're in the soup, can you know that that soup is just the prep work for the next step of your own beautiful, expanded self? The caterpillar doesn't force the transformation. It just surrenders into it. So what if the thing you're trying to fix is actually the doorway to your becoming? There's a great book that's called What's in the Way is the Way. I highly recommend it. If you're noticing a big challenge in your life, read the book, What's in the Way is the Way. But I wonder if you're trying to effort and push things when really you could release and surrender things and allow the intelligence of the universe that is creating all that is to open you up to that next iteration. See, surrender creates a space for miracles. I love the fact that this land is honored. It's inhabited by the Coast Salish peoples. And one of the things that they really honor is the salmon. The salmon they honor as relatives, as teachers, as guides. And one of the stories or the things that I've been reflecting on the salmon is whenever they go upstream, I found out something really cool. Really, new, this is new information for me, maybe because y'all have lived here for a while. You know this. But when they go upstream, they're not wrestling the river. They're not wrestling the river. They find the current within the current. So if there's like an eddy that's swirling around and pushing forward, they find that eddy and allow the current to push them forward through the river. So while it's going upstream, it's easily moving through the water. I thought that was cool too. Oh, for those of you online, that was like, I thought it was really impressive, because life doesn't ask us to muscle through our obstacles. There's a way through it that's easy and effortless. But are you willing to surrender to the easy and effortless way, or are you trying to just push and shove and make things happen? The Bhagavad Gita says, abandon all varieties of dharmas and simply surrender unto me alone. In our tradition, that me is not an external God. It's the internal knowingness. God, Goddess, Source, the Infinite. The united consciousness that is the oneness of all being, the ground of all being, is in and through each and every one of us. And if we tune in and tap into it, we can awaken the way within us and be guided. There's a song that my friend sings that says, the way knows the way. Love is the way, and the way knows the way. So you don't have to know the way. You can know that the way knows the way. You can be in that truth. The way knows the way. Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith, who is the founder of the Agape International Spiritual Center, he says, you can start with nothing, and out of nothing and no way, a way will be made. You can start with nothing, and out of nothing and no way, a way will be made. But that only appears when we stop forcing what we want to have happen and we surrender to a bigger idea of what wants to emerge through us. So can you trust and really trust that the universe is for you? Can you know that the way knows the way? I want you to do a little experiential exercise. I want you to think of something that you've been gripping, something you might have been holding on a little bit too much to, maybe a situation, maybe person, a circumstance. And so what I want you to do is literally like grip your hands, bring your hands close to your chest. Okay, feel yourself gripping it. Grip, hold it really, really tight. Okay, now I want you to surrender, let it go, breathe out, put your hands up. Okay, I want you to do that two more times, all right? Think of the thing you're gripping. Grip, hold it tight, breathe in. Now breathe out. Okay, one more time. I want you to pull it in, grip. And now, whenever this third time, I want you to say, I surrender, I let go. I surrender, I let go. And now just keep your hands open, put them in front of you, and I want you to just imagine that there's light pouring down from the universe into your hands and that you are receiving new possibility, new awareness, that the way knows the way. My hands are literally tingling. I know, I love it. That's cool. So something as easy as that is all you need to do to let go of what you know you're gripping onto. So your homework, I want you to write one thing I notice I'm trying to control. Write it down in your journal. And I want you to, the second thing that I want you to do is write down what am I afraid of will happen if I let it go? And the third thing is, what else is possible? What might happen if I actually surrender? So that's your homework. At this week, notice if anything is emerging, anything new is emerging. Pay attention to where you're trying to control and pay attention to where the universe is showing you the way. So the three things. One, empty your cup. Two, the wound is the doorway. And three, surrender creates space for miracles. So as we embark upon this darkest time of the year, it is the most opportune time to surrender and to let go and to create the energy and the space and the consciousness for the newness to emerge in our lives. And if you're willing, let's let go together. Let's pray. I know that the universe is filled with infinite possibility. It is the one thing, the thing that is consciousness, that is love, that is energy. I recognize and know that it truly is infinite and that we are here incarnate in the physical form to be willing expressors, receivers, becomers of the next evolution of what that infinite source is in and through and as our lives. And I recognize and know that this is a co-creative process that is happening through our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our souls and our spiritual bodies, our vital bodies, our emotional bodies. The highest body and the innermost body is the same body, and we are being led, guided, and directed by that higher body of knowing that knows what our soul is seeking to be expressed in this world. And so today I consciously surrender, I consciously let go, I consciously release, I consciously open and say yes, knowing that the infinite knows the way, that love knows the way, and the way is the way, and it's happening now. And it is holy, and is miraculous, and it is good. And for that, I'm grateful. And so it is.